Death Holler brought us. Season 3, Slash or Pass. It became the classic horror film podcast of its time. And now Death Holler brings us the most shocking season ever. Season 4, Dead or Dead.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Imagine, if you will, that one of the hosts is absolutely terrified of zombies.
So, what's the plan? Bash him in the head. That seems to work out.
Now, accept the fact there is no escaping this horror. Death Holler brings back the dead. Remember, when you're in Death Holler, listener discretion is advised. With hospitality like this, you'll never want to leave. We hope you stay alive.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
And welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Death, and joining me as always is my co-host, La Urena. Are you ready for Thanksgiving and Black Friday, Urena?
I'm ready to fuck some people up for some dills.
Oh, yes, the great American tradition of Black Friday, when a bunch of Americans who have just claimed that they're thankful for so many things while fighting their family decide to go out and fight a bunch of other people over a bunch of materialistic shit that they don't need. And it's barely marked down except for the doorbusters and everybody has to deal with it, especially those poor retail workers that have to be at the front lines, you know, actually working it.
You know what? If you're going to go out, you can be fucked up to people if they're, and in fact, there's not really any deals that I see people fighting over anymore. I think people are like keen to what really is happening. I mean, there are some good deals, don't get me wrong, but if you're going to be mean to someone, be mean to the Karen that's in your way from what you're trying to grab or they're trying to grab from you, but be extra nice to the workers.
Yeah, it's not their fault, especially, I mean, I know that they've kind of moved away from this in recent years, especially since COVID, so it's nice. Walmart was getting to the point where they were actually having Black Friday on Thanksgiving, which was stupid.
Dark Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. Toys R Us used to have that too. And I am telling you, because one of the things we would get almost every year for the kids had that Disney Infinity game. I don't know if you remember that.
I do, yeah.
And those figurines were expensive. They were usually like $15 a pop, which is not that bad. But when your kids want every single one, that shit gets expensive fast. So it would be like buy one, get three free. I am not joking. So they had legit deals. We got deals on, they had these specific kid tablets that I loved because they were easy to lock and to, you know, have parental controls and limits and stuff on. And, I like Dark Thursday. I'm just evil like that, apparently.
Yeah, you are evil because as somebody who's worked in retail for almost 20 years at this point, I hate everything about it. Although I've not actually seen the worst of it because in the pharmacy side of things, we mainly just had to deal with whatever stragglers came by and decided to get their Xanax that they didn't already pick up so they could deal with their family or their Percocet to deal with the weekend, you know. Always a good time to get controlled substances whenever it's a holiday, every time.
Yeah, let's wait till the last minute to make that happen.
Yeah, and especially working in a grocery store, it was usually a pretty good thing on Black Friday where they would just come in, and after they decided that they'd already mauled enough people at Walmart or some other retail location, they would come in and work and, you know, get a few more groceries to last on the weekend. And, oh, since we're here, let's, you know, fill a few things at the pharmacy.
When they're completely out and they're already whacked out.
Yeah. It's
oh my God. I always love when it's the pharmacist's fault that, you know, they're out of medication and they didn't refill in time.
I was just complaining about this to somebody today, honestly. It's just like it's especially great on the weekend or on a holiday weekend, even better, where they show up and they're just like, I realize that I'm out of this medication, and I know that you can't do anything about it, but if you don't, I'm going to die and it's your fault.
Yeah.
So deal with it.
I just want you to know that you're liable.
Yeah. Oh, it was a great time. And this movie that we're discussing this episode is all about that, actually. It starts out that way anyways and turns into a complete horror movie. And it's not the only one. It's funny because we covered Krampus, and Krampus literally starts on Black Friday whenever you watch the movie.
Oh, yeah. So does Thanksgiving.
Yes, it does. Thanksgiving's on Black Friday, yes. Yeah, it's a terrible holiday, and there's a reason horror movies are made about it. It's not even I wouldn't even call it a holiday. It's just a day for people to take out any aggression that they have had being with their family and being eating too much food, too many carbs, and they're just like they're ready to go.
So you've had to work Black Friday, which that is I can't even imagine. But
I got to work at this Black Friday, this one coming up.
Yeah. So you have to work it, but I feel like it's not as bad anymore, but you could probably, I mean, you'd be able to tell me on your end, because I'm not in your line of business. I'm also not customer facing anymore, but have you ever been on the retail end of it, or were you like, because you saw what it was like on your end, were you like, no, I'm going to avoid the retail end of it?
So it is better because people are getting all their deals online now, and very few people actually go out and actually do anything on the day. It's becoming less of an issue than it was, but I'm telling you right before COVID I feel like it peaked in like 2019 people. I mean, when they were doing Dark Thursday or whatever you want to call it, that they were getting bad. Police called to several locations around here during that Black Friday.
Shit. I've never had it that bad. I've honestly, like, I went Dark Thursday. That was my thing. We have this really huge mall out here, and there was police escorting people across the street just for safety. It's a really good area. They were walking us across the street. They were hella nice about it. We go in. There was a DJ playing in the middle of the mall. Like, it was jamming, and everyone had a good time. Yes, there were lines, but it was worth it because the deals were worth it. Honestly, the deals were seriously worth it back then. They're not anymore.
No, well, that's the other thing, too. I mean, you know, 4 years of inflation under you-know-who, I mean, it's there's no deals to be had. Like, you know, and they're even more obvious about it now online than they used to be. I mean, I was joking with my wife the other day. She was looking at something. She was watching it. It was like a Lego Harry Potter thing. And it was like $36, I think, what they were before the Black Friday deals. And I told her, I said, you watch. They're going to mark that up to $39 whenever the Black Friday deals hit. And they're going to claim that $34 or $32 is like an extreme savings. And that's exactly what they did with it. You're saving like $4 off the cost of it.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, but you have to watch it because that's what they do. They've always kind of did that, but back whenever people were literally fighting each other for these Black Friday deals, I mean, you would get TVs, like great TVs, like the doorbuster TVs. They might only have one or two in stock, but you would get them for, I mean, like $100 for something that costs like maybe $1,000 or something.
100%. And folks, what this 10-minute rant is going on is there's horrors that, you know, this almost belongs in human horror season.
It does, except for the fact these are kind of like space zombies or whatever in this particular movie, which is Black Friday 2021, if you didn't know. We've kind of buried the lead on that, but that's what it is.
Yeah, totally. But and not only that, I mean, we're dealing with weenie worms again, it feels like.
I'm telling you what, this is jumping the gun on this movie before we get to the podcast, you know, like disclaimer and all that we already do for like the socials, but I feel like that I did not realize, and it's mostly because we just watched this movie this season, how much this movie really steals from Slither, like a lot. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, big time.
It's almost the exact same plot when you get right down to it. But anyways, if you're enjoying the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would take the time to like, comment, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you prefer. It helps us get more visibility on podcast listings and helps us grow. Also, consider following us on social media. You can find us on TikTok and Twitter under Death Holler Pod, and we can be found on Instagram and Facebook under Death Holler Podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens and hope you enjoy the show. And now, Black Friday 2021, with the tagline of, and I've got to look this up here, it's Thanksgiving, and the Black Friday shoppers are coming for deals, bargains, and blood.
Wait, that was the tagline?
That's the tagline. And if you don't like that, the other one is Don't Let the Holidays Eat You Alive, which I actually like that one better.
Okay, I like that one way better.
I mean, it's succinct. It's to the point. It kind of, you know, tells you the story you're looking at.
Yeah, the other one was almost a little TLDR, but no, I didn't like it.
Directed by Casey Thibault, writers Andy Griscofiak. I don't know what the budget and the actual dollar amount that actually made, because I tried looking that up and the internet didn't really give that. So I almost feel like this one was, if it went to theaters, it was in and out so quick it didn't even have really time to get traction for anything.
Yeah. I'm looking right now and I'm not seeing. Yeah, you're right. It usually pops up pretty easily. Oh, wait, yeah, wait. Oh, no, that's 2004. Holy fuck, they don't have any information.
This is no, I almost feel like this might have been a direct-to-streaming. Considering it came out 2021, so that's probably right, because remember, they wouldn't let us in the theaters during this time, so this is probably what this is.
I am looking. I've got the full financials. Hold on. Good Lord, no. Holy crap. There really is no information on this.
Okay. I'm pretty sure this is one of those post-COVID. Hey, we don't have a place to put this. Let's just dump it on the streaming and let it go.
Which sucks, because I don't want to spoil, but I mean it's because there is very few Thanksgiving horror films that this film is one of those, in my opinion, without ranking it or going into details of what I liked or disliked, is can be a success, I should say. The only thing I'm getting, which is so fucking funny, is Box Office Mojo. Have you ever been on that website?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, usually they have a full, you know, whatnot. They only have for the United Arab Emirates at $1,581 gross.
Wow.
Woo!
So I wonder if they actually opened up during COVID and we were, you know, when we were like locked down and wasn't letting people out.
Quite possibly. I refuse to believe that there wasn't any information. So I had to look for myself.
Yeah, it really stinks. Let's see, as far as music goes, let me see if there's anybody associated with this on music. We have Patrick Stump is the person who is credited with the music on this film.
Okay.
We have, as far as our principal players, we have Devon Sawa playing Ken.
Never heard of him.
One of the main characters in the movie. Yeah, it's not like he's not been in Idle Hands that we've already covered this season.
Or Casper.
Or Casper, since he actually was Casper.
Yep.
Final Destination, for sure. That's what everybody knows him from.
What's Final Destination again? What season did we discuss?
I mean, it's Death. I don't know if we've got a season where Death is, because I don't feel like there is enough movies with just the Grim Reaper that we can make a season out of it. So I don't know. It's almost a slasher, to be perfectly honest with you, because, I mean, Death is hunting them down.
It is even if they can't see it. Slasher, but is it also, like, maybe lore? Like, are we going to have, like, a lore season where it could be, like, the first season of Supernatural where you got the fucking Wendigo, you've got, like, you know? Because there's also Urban Legends, which would probably go in that season.
But it would also be a slasher. We almost covered Urban Legends, but then we ran out of time on slasher season.
I feel like a lore season could potentially... I feel like a lore season could be something. You know what, listeners? Sound off. Tell us, what do you think? Like, Urban Legends and Final Destination. Am I missing anything that would go in a lore season or something like that?
David Sawa has also been on the Chucky TV series. So there you go.
He was a babe when I was a teenager. He was definitely in those teen heartthrob magazines.
And I remember my sister had a natural obsession with him. So
yeah. So with that being said, he's held up pretty well. I know he's been in quite a few movies recently. So we won't go over that, but he's been in some newer movies, and I think he's kept himself in shape. But what he hasn't done is he thankfully has not done any of the plastic surgery, because guys do that too.
He is aged. I mean, he looks like an aged version of himself, which is nice. I like whenever they don't, mm-hmm. you know, do the Kate Beckinsale type surgery where it's
God, it's too much. And you know what? He looks. But the problem is guys age a lot more gracefully than women do. You guys get a lot more leniency than us ladies do.
Actually, some of us look better when we get older. So
yeah,
I mean, there's
so
more
go
to
fuck
it.
Yourselves. How about that? I don't like women that do fake things. That's all they look at on the internet. And then guys are just aging wonderfully. Why can't you just age like me? Shut the hell up.
Oh, I forgot to also mention, he is known as Stan to some people who are Eminem
fans.
Oh,
yeah. Eminem stands.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird seeing him in this movie kind of aged. But, I'm not talking shit. I think he's aged the way he should and looks decent.
Yeah, and... we've mentioned this before, I think, during slasher season. He has brought up that if they want to go with a different Freddy for Freddy Krueger, he wants his name out there for that position.
Oh, yeah. And we did kind of go back and forth on that. I was unsure. I don't know if I was unsure if I was for it.
Kevin Bacon has also put his name out there, and I don't know between the two of them who I would prefer, to be honest.
I feel like Kevin Bacon would get it because he's Kevin Bacon.
I feel like Kevin Bacon has more of the acting chops to pull it off, but that's not to say that Devin Sawa couldn't surprise me if he really put his effort into the movie.
I think Devin Sawa is a good actor, and I don't understand why he hasn't been in more movies. What I want to believe is that he's been picky about what films he's been in. And I'm not saying he's like this. He's been in these award-winning films. I just happen to think that he's a believable actor. He doesn't come off cheap. He doesn't come off, you know, washed out, if you will.
Right.
So I personally like him. I think it's like he doesn't try too hard to be decent. Jensen.
And there goes our Supernatural fans, if we had any left. We both like Jared for the most part, even though he's got his own mental issues. I mean, off screen. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We have Ivana Baquero playing Marnie, who is it's basically Devin Sawa's co-worker fuck buddy.
Ugh. And she's young.
Yeah, and she's younger, and there's a whole thing there. Her primary movie that most people would know her for is she was in Pan's Labyrinth. I think she played the little girl in that film.
Okay.
Not really seeing much of anything else though, as far as her IMDb listing that really stands out to me about her previous career. So, let me see here. We have Ryan Lee playing Chris, and he's kind of like Devin Sawa's, like, I don't know, like, took him under his wing, like the young guy at work and it turns out that Chris is not really, like in the movie, Chris is not really doesn't idolize Devin Sawa's character as much as Devin Sawa thinks he does, like, you know, because Devin Sawa's like the cool guy that got stuck at a retail job and never really got out of it. And Chris kind of sees him as kind of just, I washed up, you know, former cool guy, basically, is what he sees him as, is what they reveal in the movie. Ryan, this kid, though, whenever I saw him, in somebody's face, he reminded me a lot of this, of one of the characters that was in Waiting, the one that was hired on. I don't know if you've ever seen Waiting.
No, I know what you're talking about.
He reminds me of the kid that was hired in that and was like, you know, Ryan Reynolds, like the same situation. Mm-hmm. He was like second to the cool guy who had been at a job that he was way too qualified for and should have moved on from a long time ago. And then at the end of the movie, he gets all pissed and everybody's like, all right, you're the new cool guy. You know, we like you.
Yeah.
I thought it was him, but like, it's not that kid. It's like somebody else completely. It just looks not. Like him.
It's just because Ryan Lee is probably way younger than that actor from Waiting.
He is. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's but a they look person.
Like they are the same person in a different universe, apparently.
It's the thing with any kind of, you know, anytime that you have Hollywood types, they have their doubles or their twins, and it's just one of those type situations. He was in Super 8, and he did play in Goosebumps, so those are a couple of things that people would have seen him in.
It said that he was in Thanksgiving, too.
Let's see.
I'm looking. Hold on. Because I don't remember him in Thanksgiving. I just don't know why that popped
up. I don't see any credits on IMDb.
It does. So when I'm looking up the cast for Thanksgiving, he is in the cast. I wonder if he played one of the teenagers or something.
He might have. Okay.
What is his name again? Hold on. It's right here. It's Ryan Lee. I'm going to Google real quick. You can continue, but
The next one we have is Steven Peck, who plays Brian, who's kind of the effeminate, like, second-in-command associate manager types. The ones that you hate, the ones that kiss the big boss's ass or whatever and think that they run the place because they have a little bit of power.
Yeah.
And honestly, the guy kind of got my nerves in the movie, and it's not just because, I mean, he was an associate manager. Anytime I see a character kind of like this, the really, really effeminate types or whatever, it reminds me a lot of like modern day cinema, like, you know, that they go out of their, which this movie didn't do that necessarily. It didn't do any of the DEI stuff that's in, but it's a step in that direction. And yeah. It just reminds me too much of it. And I was just kind of like, okay, he's fine, you know, whatever. I mean, there's types like that retails location, so it works, but we have Michael Jai White, who plays Archie in the movie, who's one of the only real like actiony type guys in the entire film, formerly Spawn, for anybody who cares about that, and he was also Black Dynamite, and he starred in The Dark Knight, so he does have a few big movies, at least for the cult crowds or whatever. Wow. Under his name. Kind of taken out too soon in the movie, in my opinion, for what he brought to the screen. But
yeah,
does the shock that it needs or whatever, because whenever he gets taken out, then all, you know, cards are off the table at that point.
Yeah.
And then of course we have Bruce Campbell, whoever that is, never playing Jonathan, who's the store manager.
I did not recognize him. The first time I watched it.
You have got to be kidding. How do you not recognize Bruce Campbell?
I don't know. Don't come at me, because I don't know what I was doing that I didn't recognize him, and I didn't recognize Devon Sawa. And you're going to laugh even more because, yes, I knew Bruce Campbell. We've discussed this movie before a little bit. I think we've kind of discussed it during one of our other shows briefly.
Yeah, and we kind of mentioned that people should go out and watch it or something,
and maybe
like
gave
that.
It an unofficial rating or whatnot. But when I was watching it again, of course, Bruce Campbell pops up, and I'm like, I forgot this motherfucker was in this film, and I know this film is basically him playing fucking himself, or if not himself, Ash.
So that's what I was going to ask you, because this is Ash works at a retail store. Yes. I mean, let's just throw that out there. So the fact that this guy works at a retail location. He has used what little, he even mentions it in the movie, he uses what little power and what little, you know, a bit of prestige that the title gives him to basically make others miserable. Kind of fits what Ash would have done if he wasn't so much of a screw up. The only thing he's missing is that he's the antithesis of Ash, in the sense that he does fuck all nothing to actually help anybody as far as like, which I know it takes a lot for Ash to even get involved. So that kind of fits, but this guy does not even step. It's like Ash in an alternate universe. If he was never like the hero that he was made out to be, he went back to S-Mart and was, you know, then was like, all right, I'm the king now, baby. You know, like in his mind he was, and he just made people's lives miserable with that, you know, that little bit of power.
Yeah. I would say that this is a very retired Ash. And Ash could come out of retirement because we've seen it, but this is an older, retired, I want to be comfortable Ash, and I could totally buy it. You know, you get fucking tired.
It's more along the lines, because Bruce Campbell plays a character in that show Hysteria that's on. I need to
watch that.
I'm trying to think of what streaming service. Peacock. It's on Peacock.
Is it really? Oh my god, I was on Peacock today. Okay.
It's on Peacock. So he plays a cop in that, of like this one, and of all things, a Michigan town, which Ash is from Michigan, so it fits that way too. But it's. In that one, he's more action oriented. He's a little bit more serious, and it doesn't really. It might go along with Evil Dead 1 Ash, but it doesn't go along with Evil Dead 2 on, you know, Ash. This is what retired Ash would have been like, you know, just because of how goofy and how full of himself he is. In this movie, not necessarily the character in Hysteria. He's actually competent to a certain degree in Hysteria, which is not really Ash's forte.
Interesting.
He kind of gets by on luck more than anything.
Yeah.
The only other person I want to bring up from the cast, because I kept hearing it and I knew it had to be him, is that Seth Green does the voice for Dour Dennis, which is the teddy bear that keeps getting activated.
Oh, hell yeah. I did not even think about that, because it sounded very, you know, so I wasn't 100% that. I like that.
Yeah, every time that they would go back to that bear, I'm like, okay, I hear Seth Green's voice. I know that that's him.
I did not. I didn't.
It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I didn't know.
A couple of quotes from the movie from Jonathan. You know, the worst thing about holiday shoppers, which is Bruce Campbell's character, by the way, they can never accept the fact that the night is over.
I mean, it's good for the movie. But I think the worst part of it is that they didn't get the deal that they wanted, or they didn't get there in time, or whatever. I think that's the worst part for them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The lines that I like the best from him, which I'm not seeing here, is where he's sat down in like his little, you know, they're all kind of having their, you know, come to Jesus moment, kind of sitting around while they're locked up and kind of, you know, talking about their feelings and revealing like their faults and everything. That's when Devin Sawa is everybody basically, he thinks he's like the king of the place.
Yeah.
And they basically cut him down. They're like, the one girl that he's sleeping with, she's like, you're just available. Like, if I had any other options, this wouldn't be a thing. So that's a hit to his ego. He's already divorced and, like, barely seen his kid. And then the one kid that's, like, he thinks looks up to him basically says, you're kind of a loser, dude. Like, you know, and so that's a whole, like, so he goes through all that. And then, of course, Jonathan, the store manager, sits down and was like, I love this job. I love telling people that they suck and that, you know, and wielding what little power I have. And it's like, okay, you're a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. But you find out kind of a little bit that he's not as big as a piece of shit as another character in the film.
Elaborate on that one, because I'm trying to think of which one's the bigger piece of shit in the movie.
Well, personally, I believe, hold on, I'm going to, because I want to make sure I get the person correct here. I need to go to cast. There it is. Okay. It is. Wait, are they not amazing? Okay, Stephen Beck, who played Brian, it's the bigger African-American feller.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one who bit, what's his name? Ken, who's Devin Sawa's character, and then he thought that he was going to die, so he's in, you know, the heat of everything. Like, okay, I'm going to die, so I might as well blow up everybody or, you know, the monsters. Ken is sacrificing himself because Brian fucking bit him and he thought that he was bit by one of the zombies.
I I was rewatching this and I totally missed the scene where he got bit, so I did not know where that bite came from.
I did too. This is my second time watching it and I totally missed it too.
That explains it though. That explains why he doesn't turn. I'm like, mm-hmm. Why is he bit but there's nothing happening?
Yes, you know? It's because Brian at the end was like, I bit him because, you know, he was getting on all of our nerves and wasn't he on all of our shit list? And they're like, you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, well, that's what you get whenever you have an assistant manager, usually at a store. I mean, even if you watch The Office, that's Dwight Schrute.
Oh,
They have Napoleon syndrome. Like, I mean, the big boss either lets it go to their head or they, you know, they're kind of incompetent, like, you know, Michael Scott. But then you have, like, the second command that's, like, just – well, even the store, the show, Superstore, the second command's that kind of heavyset woman or whatever in that show, and she is just on everybody's ass all the time because what little power they gave her as assistant manager, she has to wield or she doesn't feel like her life is, you know, means anything.
That's funny but also annoying.
I can't stand it. I've seen it so many times, and I mean, I've seen assistant store managers at, you know, a certain grocery location that I used to work at that were such hard asses, and you go to the store manager, the actual boss, and they'd be like, oh, that's no big deal, don't worry about it. And it's just like, I wish you'd get little Barney Fife off of my back because this motherfucker thinks that he's got some pull, and let me tell you, I've got way more schooling than him, and as a medical professional, I'm going to tell him to get the fuck out of my face if he doesn't stop. So
you know what always gets me is the people that are like, I've worked here for this long, and I'm like, yeah, and you're still a useless piece of shit. Like, I'm surprised you have a job and you think you deserve more than everyone here that has to pull your weight. I'm good.
I could get in the work stuff right now, but I'm not going to do that because that's not what this podcast is about. So let's just leave that alone. One other quote here from Jonathan, because he keeps saying it. He says, I told you they'd never die, which is kind of hilarious because I do imagine a retired Ash saying that to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Because every time they think that they've killed one of these things, they hop back up, their head's slightly misshapen now that it's took a dent.
Yeah.
And they keep on moving.
Oh my goodness.
The synopsis for this movie basically is that right before Thanksgiving, some kind of alien like thing crashes through, and it has to be multiple different locations.
Oh, yeah.
Because they get a phone call, I mean, from some other place that's overrun. And then at the end of the movie, obviously there's one of the big creatures in the background somewhere in the other part of the city.
Okay. So, I'm glad you said that because I did see Godzilla and I was like, okay, is that the same store? Are they driving past the store and it just didn't die? Or is that a different location?
No, that was a different spot. So what I'm thinking is if you take Slither and instead of that one comet landing in that one, you know, podunk place in South Carolina or wherever it was, North Carolina, if you took that, it would have just happened all over and like these little pods crashed onto the planet and whoever got exposed to them got like the little weenie worm, like little, you know, thorn like thing that comes out, you know, like in Slither, which is why it reminded me so much of it. And then just starts the zombie apocalypse that it happened all over. It just, we see the one location, some, and I don't even know if it's the place that we're actually following in the film. I feel like it's another like warehouse somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyways, that happens. And then Devin Sawa and the rest of the cast, they go to work Black Friday. They think it's going to be a regular Black Friday. And it starts off that way with people just being general asses to each other and, people, you know, treating each other, I mean, and the employees like shit. But then some of them become infected and then they all become infected. And then it's them trying to survive while these creatures keep combining their bodies together to form this massive creature for whatever reason. And that really reminds me of Slither because if you watch the end of the movie, all combining into, you know, the Michael Rooker's character or whatever at the end of that movie. They're all kind of combining to be part of him.
Okay, I know I ask you this like every time we deal with something like this, but what was that called in Evil Dead Rise?
What are you talking about, the beast or whatever?
Or maybe it wasn't Evil Dead Rise. Maybe it was Evil Dead 2013.
Yeah, the one that combined together was the Abomination.
The Abomination, I think, that's what it, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my husband. He has decided to join us.
Yeah, someone's going to cook dinner here.
The reason why I'm saying that is because you told me you didn't want to join, so that's why.
Someone has to make dinner for the kids. They're not self-sufficient. It doesn't work like that.
Okay, not at all what I was saying, but okay. So, he's joining us. Hello.
All right, well, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, dude?
What's happening?
None.
We're actually to the review portion of it. You came in just in time. I think we've got through all the primary stuff, so we can just get right into it. So we always discuss visuals. How do we feel like the zombies look in this movie?
Oh, I thought they looked pretty good because I think that with these zombies, they started off as regular zombies, which is cool, but they got uglier. They progressed. Or digress? I don't know.
Regressed would probably be better.
Yeah, they got uglier. They turned into, they went from being a zombie to being a monster.
What movie are we talking about?
Black Friday. What are you doing if you don't know what we're talking about? Black Friday.
My bad. I'm out of the loop. I just walked in.
Do you remember the movie?
Pretend I'm some idiot at a bar and someone's having a conversation and I just totally interject myself into the equation.
Well, at that point, I'm going to turn off his microphone. We're going to turn our chairs and we're just going to not talk to that person. No. Black Friday with Bruce Campbell.
I like that movie.
Okay.
It was a nice throwback to the classics.
All right. So now that you remember... What did you think visually about how the monsters looked?
I thought the monsters are good. The story is what kind of starts to fall apart really quick with that movie.
Well, we're not there yet, so.
Oh.
Well, that's why we start with the visuals, because that is the strongest part of the movie, actually. I mean, they even did a pretty good job. I mean, of course, it was from the distance, and they probably used miniatures, but they did a good job with it, with the big monster, the Godzilla-like creature that kind of forms at the end of the movie. That could have looked a lot worse, and I think that on the budget, well, the assumed budget they had, since this is like one movie that just, you know, didn't really have any backing by any major studio or whatever, so... I feel like they did a pretty good job on that. And I do agree, the zombies, I like how they look like traditional zombies at first, but then they become more and more just like weird, almost like versions of the Thing or something. Like they kind of just get mutated over time.
Yeah, they definitely have almost like a pumpkin head monstrous look to them. That's the best way I could, the best of my memory. But they also have an alien look to them, which goes, because these are definitely some sort of alien.
And then they have they have like that web shooter type thing, kind of like Spider-Man. It's like this weird netting that they shoot out of whatever part of their body and just like, you know, pull you, you know, into the mass or whatever they're doing.
Spider cum coming out of their mouth.
If I remember that, it ends with the world just falling apart, right? After you get out of it,
one can perceive that maybe that's what's going to happen.
Those big abominations are all over the place. So yeah, the whole world's pretty much fucked at that point. I mean, it took all of they lost everybody but like three people trying to fight the one, and they're all over the city. So, I mean, and for them to be, those masses are like combining like just bodies together of people. Ooh. So you can imagine that it's just like a bunch. I mean, the more and more people are getting killed to make these things.
I wonder if the Godzillas combine together to make one ginormous one.
Godzilla's a solo act. Calm down a little bit now.
Well, it looked like Godzilla. You can't tell me that didn't look like Godzilla in the background.
To me, it looks like some kind of meaty version of the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, and I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I don't like that one bit.
some kind of meaty version of the Michelin Man or something, just made large.
That's, it's like Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but he's got actual limbs and a body.
And then it looks up, and it's like, I'm the way that God made me. And it's like, no God was involved in making you.
Where's your God now?
I don't remember. I'm going to skip to the music real quick because I don't really remember much about it. Oh, I know there's like some holiday stuff in it, but that's
Okay, because this is a horror comedy, would we agree?
Yes.
Okay, so there was some... I'm so glad you said something because I almost forgot about this. And I almost messaged you today because I was rewatching it at work. And there was this Jingle Bells themed song that was super hyped and super dramatic at the same time. And I was like, it doesn't get more appropriate. It was like an action-packed Jingle Bells with drama thrown into it. It couldn't have been any more perfect for the scene where it was, I want to say Devon Sawa jumping around, excuse me, and thinking that he was bitten and trying to fight the monsters off. Like, he's literally waiting to die. He's like, okay, I'm ready to go. And he's not going because, well, you know, he's not actually bitten by one of them.
I do like how he, like, smacks that one old lady or whatever one good time
before she finds a different god. I don't know. Or she sees her original god. The music, so because I, and you know me, I don't normally hear the music. Like, I don't, it doesn't, if it doesn't affect me, good or bad, if it's bad, I'm pissed. But this was good. The composer for this movie did a really good job with the music. They made it fun. They made it, it was still scary. There was no fear taken away from the excitement that was going on.
The composer's name was Elfman Danny.
No.
It was not for this film.
Elfman Danny. Oh, my God. But, yeah, so I'm going to go with the music was top-notch. Like, if we rated just the music alone, like, if we gave each individual section a rating, this music would have been a 5 out of 5 for me because it was good. I think they were on par with everything.
Okay, I need to pay more attention to it then. I was focused more on the action on the screen, not really listening
and
to the
music. And I normally am, so I don't, like, blame you for that.
I know, Raina's the last person who wants to listen to any music inside of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, this is a musical?
This is horrible. You guys both know that. It's not a surprise. I think by this time our regular listeners know that I hate...
I want to get you to watch the new Joker movie.
Oh, fuck you.
It's a musical, though.
Yeah, that's why. You can go.
It might be the only musical that you really like.
That's not true, because I like Chicago and I like Phantom of the Opera. So I do like musicals. I'm just very select. It's kind of funny that one listener thought that Repo the Genetic Opera would be good. I mean, it was up my alley.
That is a good movie.
I don't like the music.
You're just a horrible person.
Oh, man. No love lost.
We might as well discuss, well, we'll go to the acting before we go to the story. The acting in the movie, it's serviceable. Mm-hmm. I can't really hold anything against them. The characters are likable enough. I mean, or dislikable enough as they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I don't really feel like there was any, like, you know, major, you know, moments in the movie where anybody, you know, proved that they were Oscar worthy or anything, but that's not what this movie is. So they worked fine.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's a horror comedy.
It's a slasher holiday.
There's three main characters, which was Bruce Campbell's character, well, I guess for a while, Devon Sawa's character, and then the girl. But then I guess technically there was four because there was the skinny dude, too. There's a little little Twinkie guy.
And then the peck, you know, assistant manager until, you know, he tried to reason with the Godzilla monster at the end of the movie.
Oh, that was funny. Oh, he just got punted like a fucking football, too. That shit was amazing.
Yeah, he deserved that 100%.
Yep.
Here's the thing, I guess, in their acting. Did they sell the horror and the comedy? I didn't feel the comedy comes through a little bit, but it's not like I wasn't laughing out loud during any of the movie. So,
I mean, I was. Devon Sawa wasn't selling the comedy. He was selling the action, maybe a little bit of the horror.
They got Bruce for the comedy. I mean, mm-hmm. Bruce is the one that's serving up most of it.
The twink was definitely bringing the horror part out. I guess Devon Sawa, too. I mean, I did kind of mention that already, but, like, I feel like he was more action-y, but I take that back because we got to see some pretty good horror with him. The twink was the one who brought out the horror.
Let's be honest. This is more of a movie when you get together for the holidays. As an adult, you're probably not going to be scared, but it's a good movie for the kids. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's true. A fun little family film, you know?
Yeah, like Anna and the Apocalypse is like a good, solid Christmas horror movie.
Yeah, this is more of a movie to kind of like whenever you're done with like you've got too much of the saccharin from movies like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, or I brought this up today, somebody. Why in the fuck is Dutch not available for to stream anywhere?
Dude, that is such a good movie, man. That's one of my favorite.
It is so good.
I don't think I've seen
that. Ed O'Neill in his prime.
Ed O'Neill in his prime. Ethan Embry, way before he did Can't Hardly Wait. He's this little shitty kid who's like, you know,
with these sexy playing cards.
Yeah, he's like a prep school, you know, kid. And they even have Shooter McGavin in the movie because he plays the douchebag dad or whatever for the kid. It's great. And it kills me because it's another one of those, what's his name, that did all the movies like Breakfast Club and all that. It's one of those type movies, even Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It wasn't John Hughes, was it? No.
Yeah, John Hughes. Okay, it was one of his movies. It was like one of the last, before, it might have been, I don't know if it came before or after Home Alone, but it was one of the last few that he wrote before he passed away.
Yeah, I want to say it was right around that time, like of Home Alone 1, if I remember, somewhere around that timeline.
But you can't, it is not streaming anywhere. And it's like, it's one of those movies that's got just enough bite to it that it offsets the, you know, the super happy message that it's trying to, that it ends up being at the end of it. But when you're sick of those type movies, you put on a movie like this, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. So. I mean, you can buy it for $20, but yeah, it's not streaming anywhere, which you don't like to stream anyway. So.
Do like to stream if I can't find it anywhere, and the fact that this is only available on DVD and nobody is stepping up to try to get it right, and I don't know what the distribution issue is. I have for years wanted to watch this movie at Thanksgiving, and I last year I found it somewhere. I don't remember where it was at, and I watched it, and I'm like, oh, finally, and then it's gone again this year.
You know what to do.
Yeah, what type of TV do you got?
I got like a Vizio, I think.
Perfect. I can send it. I can mail it to you on a jump drive. You can just plug in the TV and it'll play it.
Okay, cool. That'd be good. Yeah, I prefer to own them if I can, but like nobody's stepping up to release this thing. Like it's, I mean, you can't even get the Blu-ray anymore. but it's kind of a shame, but I mean, there's not really a whole lot of movies for Thanksgiving though, when you really think about it, because most of them skip straight to Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. It is. I think all of us can agree that it's nice to have, what is this, three movies now? Black Friday, Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thanksgiving's solid.
And what's the other one? Is there another one? Or am I?
If you're talking about horror for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Horror or horror comedy.
Well, Krampus starts on Black Friday, Krampus, so it's kind of in there, but I mean...
Krampus is a good end-of-the-night movie where it's like, okay, we've finally transitioned into Christmas.
Yeah, that's when you would want to watch Krampus. That's a good time to watch Krampus.
Yeah, so...
By the way, the kid who's in Krampus is also in Hysteria with Bruce Campbell, so another reason to watch that.
I really need to watch at least one episode of that.
I think if you watch the first episode, you'd be hooked enough to watch the rest of them.
Oh, my God. My husband's going to be so happy. Babe, you're always trying to get me to watch movies. You're always like, you never watch what I recommend. I finally started watching something you recommended, and I liked it. You're right. It's right up my alley.
What?
Fall Guy.
Side movie.
Yeah. Well, you told me you didn't really like it that much. You were kind of like, it's good, but it's got blah, 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 whatever. It's right up your alley, though.
It's a chick flick. Yes. It's about a dude that's bending over backwards, hurting himself to get this girl's approval.
I agree with that, but I will say I really dug Fall Guy just for the action scenes and stuff. Oh, they do enough service to the guys in that sense that it's okay otherwise.
Legit. The action in the movie, it's good. I'll give it that.
Yeah, and it's got a really good soundtrack. I've heard the soundtrack way before I watched the movie. And
this is like a girl's wet dream. It's this dude who will just let him be abused to the ninth and still keep coming back.
Really? Because like I feel like that'd be a guy that I'd walk all over, and I don't like that.
I think women secret like that, but they don't want to be with that guy.
We don't keep that around. Yeah, we'd definitely get our use out of it. But you love
walking on top of guys.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, you made my point.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but like this is, he's trying to be her love interest, though.
He was her love interest.
Was, until he decided to be a weenie and break his back.
Okay, that's nice. Fucking pussy.
Little bitch. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, back to Thanksgiving. Wrong film. Black Friday.
Yeah, we didn't get to cover Thanksgiving whenever because it hadn't came out yet. I think whenever we finished up Slasher season. I swear we covered
Thanksgiving.
That is the movie's kind of the script's a little iffy, but the movie in general I like it a lot.
I don't agree with you, Reverend. I think we covered it. I'm going to check right now, but I don't. It's probably
if not. We did, it was the last thing we did that season is all I'm going to say.
Oh, Slasher season, remember. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would have been perfect for that.
Yeah, that's the thing is that, okay, hold on. Whoa, babe.
Okay. While you're looking that up, I'm going to go into the story for this. I agree with Noah. The story, it's Slither. It is basically Slither. It's, if you want to get right down to what happens in this movie. I mean, you take away Michael Rooker's good characterization, and I will fight anybody that says that Slither or this movie's funnier than Slither. I think Slither's got way better humor if you're talking about a horror comedy than this movie. Oh, yeah, does.
Big time. The lead character, what's that dude's name?
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, he's always good at those puns, this quick-witted, snappy type of character.
Well, and like when we covered Slither, even the mayor of the town, the one that's foul mouthed or whatever, every word he says in that movie cracks me up. I like this movie a lot better whenever I did not remember or it had been a while since I'd watched Slither, but since we watched it again this season and then went back to this, I see the comparisons there, and this is definitely the subpar movie versus that one. I mean, all the way around. It's just and people are like, why are you comparing them? Well, I mean, you've got a space alien creature that lands on Earth. It has some kind of weird, like, little tentacle thing with a little, you know, like thorn-like appendage at the end that shoots into somebody. They turn into the initial zombie. The zombies spread. They combine together, and their bodies meld together, just like at the end of Slither, and they make this larger kind of creature that's all about just consuming or doing whatever it's going to do. I mean, you just throw in a different group of people, and that's basically what you got. And then you've said it during, you know, Black Friday, obviously, in a toy store, as it were.
I stand corrected. We apparently did not put out an official show, so we probably just did a quick review.
I think we literally said, go watch this now. This is great. I think's what we said during this season.
Yeah, that was a good one, and I'll say it again. Definitely go watch it. For me, the gore of the slashing was just chef's kiss.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's scenes insane in that movie where people's faces get, like, ripped off, and not even counting the cooked scenes toward the end of it.
They're
amazing.
Yeah. And as for the storyline, yeah, so for me, the simpleton of the show, this movie was enjoyable because the storyline is pretty basic. It's simple. You got your aliens, you know, that are using Black Friday as an excuse to lure people in. Well, not using it. You got the people already luring themselves in. So it's set up for this, whatever the fuck it is, that all these people are going to gather in the masses, and they're going to be able to turn them into their own personal monster machine, if you will. It's not great, but it's, for me, it's like scary and exciting enough that it's enjoyable, where it's not like too scary that I'm like, I can't sleep at night or I'm going to have bad dreams or anything, you know? And good, wholesome family fun, you know?
I think, I don't know. I mean, it's serviceable. It's not, I mean, it doesn't like, I mean, it's not threadbare. It's not on the level of like Zombie, the one from Lucio Fulci that we covered, which basically had no story. It has a decent one that, you know, hits the beats and all that. It just has the problem that I run in, that I kind of hate with some of these horror movies. Even a movie that I really like, which is Night of the Demons from like 1980,
Girl has perfect titties in that movie.
Noah?
Yes, there are some perfect titties. It's Linnea Quigley. What do you want? But anyways, even with that movie, there's a trope in horror movies that I hate where people get caught in locations and they can't get out. And like narratively, it has to bend over backwards to explain why they can't leave. This movie kind of had that because we had four of the main characters get out. They're outside in a truck, and for some weird reason, they decide the back end of the building. Then the next scene, they're on top of the building, and it's just like, and then they have to jump in the dumpster, and they're still kind of trapped there. I'm like, you were outside. You had a semi. Just why didn't you drive away? Like, I mean, I don't know. What were they trying? I just hate the, you know, like, we're out. We're finally away from this. Oh, let's just go right back in.
It's like
know?
A woman when she's shopping at the mall. There's no strategic plan. Yeah. It's just all over the place.
Well, it kind of destroys the storyline. It makes it, like, incoherent when they do stuff like that.
It does, and that's kind of where I was getting at with it. It's like it bends over backwards to kind of just keep you right at the same location because that's what they had the budget for, so they had to stay with that location. But see, I feel like if they would have changed the story around, they would have been able – they wouldn't have had to – if they were going to get them outside, that should have been like the last thing they shot or the last thing that's, you know, edited into the movie because they shoot these things out of sequence.
Even
it shouldn't
then.
Have been – you know,
even then they could have like get them out, get them in the sun by having trying to leave. And then they see how everything's just falling apart all the way around them.
Yeah. I mean, that would give them more of a motivation. I mean, cause at that point they just knew that the place they were in was just overrun. So why even go back into it? I mean, it's stuff like that just bothers me about some of these movies because they do that because of, you can tell it's budget reasons, but it's the way that they wrote the story to stay in that location that kind of is the problem. And then while all this is going on, Devin Sawa is just, there's intermittent scenes where he's just casually strolling through the store with lighting fires and but he's not getting ganked by anything. I don't understand why they did that either. That kind of, you know, was a little bit of a letdown in the movie.
Well, okay, so how I interpreted that, this is me, my dumb way of explaining something stupid, is that at this point, now he did get caught technically, but at this point they were already gathering in their masses and kind of building their monster machine. They were kind of busy with that. He was not as big of a threat as I didn't feel like he was that big of a threat to them.
He probably wasn't, but if they have... Okay, so if you have a monster that can just randomly whip out the spider cum or whatever you want to call it from earlier, why wouldn't they just grab him and just latch him on and say, fuck it, you know, if you're moving, you're part of us. I mean, it does. If they have that ability, I mean, it's not like regular zombies where if, you know, if they're caught inside the monster and they're melding, they can't really get to you because all they've got is their reach. These things could, like, I mean, they got Michael Jai White's character from, like, at least 6 feet above him or something.
That's true.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just little things like that, that kind of, like, when you think about them, I mean, you're not supposed to, obviously. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a dumb popcorn flick, but I mean, it's, I don't know why they just kept having scenes of him inside the store. They could have, if they'd done it, tweaked it a little bit, they could have gave it a little bit more like the horror element where he's bobbing and weaving, trying to get out of there and they're almost catching him.
Yeah.
And, because, like, for instance, did I miss something? How the fuck did he get out of the building? Because he just randomly pops up with the other two in the parking lot.
You see him running out as the monsters catch, like, getting blown up.
which makes no sense. The other thing that don't make any sense, the monster is completely on fire, but it's not affecting it whatsoever. Like, there is no, like... If they would have explained that the monster somehow was not affected by flames, I could buy it, but they never, in every movie, fire is the ultimate cleanser. It, like, always kills the monster or whatever it is. And, like, this movie, it's completely surrounded by fire inside that building, but it takes them letting it pull a forklift into its face for it to even have any kind of damage.
I didn't even think about that until now.
I was sitting there, I'm like, okay, so the flames are all around it, it's burning its toes, its legs, whatever. Why is it not screaming in pain and trying to literally knock this building down? Budget again, but yeah. I mean, you know, if they would have just explained, oh yeah, that it, so if they had a scene in the movie where one of them tries to set fire to, you know, the body and it just instantly goes out or the thing doesn't even really respond, then I'm like, oh shit, this thing's like, It fire can't even take this out. Then I'd been like, okay, that's enough explanation, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I have something new to ponder about now. Not happy about it.
I only sat and pondered about it because the second time I watched it again, I was comparing it to Slither and I'm like, Slither explained everything.
Yeah.
Like, they even had the scene at the end where the gas fed back into, you know, the character. which I can't even remember his name now. He's got two first names, like it was Glenn or something like that. But when it fed the fire back or the gas back into him, one of them just had to, you know, like set fire to him and it blew everything up. It made logical sense. But James Gunn is a pretty good, you know, writer, so he would think about that sort of thing.
Why, this is a fun movie. Why are you trying to bring logic into it?
It's a palate cleanser.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Anything else you want to say about the movie? Otherwise, before we get in a little bit of trivia, because there's not a lot to it, to be honest, on the trivia side.
Noah? Well, maybe he wants to save for closing thoughts.
I wish I would have rewatched it. I didn't know you guys were talking about it.
I told you we were.
You said Black Friday. I'm thinking a lot of different Black Fridays. I thought you were talking about shopping.
Okay.
He thought you were talking about the movie with Ice Cube in it, you know.
Oh, God. Friday,
it's got black people, so.
He would. Like, okay, we just call it Friday in my neck of the woods, but okay.
You know that movie with Debo and he comes in and he's like beating on them and they have to.
Raina calls it something else and nobody's around.
Wow. These Mexicans, they be racist, you know.
The radio says the counties of Columbus, Carpenter, Lynch, and Wright have been evacuated. This is a nod to four directors, Chris Columbus, John Carpenter, Joe Lynch, and Edgar Wright.
Oh, wow.
That served as inspiration for the movie.
That's kind of cool. Wait. Is this an Eli Roth movie? No, that was Thanksgiving, huh?
Yeah, Thanksgiving's okay. An Eli Roth movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was filmed in a former Babies R Us.
Hell yeah. So,
damn.
That makes sense.
For the holiday music in the toy store, in order to find a less expensive alternative to paying for actual Christmas music, director Tebow performed royalty-free Christmas songs on a keyboard using Apple's GarageBand.
Hell yeah. That's why it was like, and they did a hella good job because you heard me talking about the music. I was like, this shit was hella appropriate for what was going on.
The last 2 days of the shoot was when the crew shot the finale scenes that are outside. They got lucky with the weather as the next day there was a blizzard that crippled all of Massachusetts where they were filming.
They got hella lucky.
Yeah.
The director has stated that the film was based on an unused Power Rangers script from 1994.
Oh, makes sense why that monster looked like Godzilla.
That monster looks like that. That makes perfect sense.
This is an extrapolation of a Power Rangers script?
The yes. Monster had to be.
Okay.
What? While zapping the TV at the employee's room briefly plays Curse of Chucky, Devin Sawa appears in the TV show. So a little bit of Curse of Chucky in there. Writer Andy Griskoviak worked at a Toys R Us in Greater Chicago, which is the reason you'll hear local towns referenced like Bartlett and Schaumburg. So,
okay.
The special effects team used cooked spaghetti as the zombie goop, which infects the various characters throughout the film, with a combination of white pigment and slime to mask its origin.
Okay, wait. Is that what the person threw up at the beginning of the movie, too?
Yeah, probably.
Ugh, it was so gross.
And that's pretty much all the trivia that really matters. It does say as a spoiler, after Ken, Devin Sawa, gets bit, Chris Ryan Lee suggests cutting his arm off before he is turned. Another Devin Sawa movie, Idle Hands, has his character cutting his hand off when he gets possessed. Seth Green provides the voice of Dour Dennis in Black Friday, and he also was the zombie sidekick in Idle Hands, so there's a little bit of connection there for you.
Also, Bruce Campbell had to cut off, well, not his arm, but his hand.
Which is referenced, I mean, in Idle Hands, so it all circles back a little bit.
It's a by the way, of death, everyone.
Somebody is remaking Idle Hands right now.
I don't think they should.
Have an original idea, people. Stop trying to rehash.
I get that, but at the same time, we've already discussed that Idle Hands was not the best movie ever. It tried, but it didn't really achieve big success. I'm wondering if they could, I mean, there's places they can improve it. And here's who's actually working on it. Finn Wolfhard, you know, from Stranger Things, and Jason Reitman.
I mean, I'm not saying they can't make it good, But just because they're good doesn't mean they can make that movie good. But I guess at this point, what do we have to lose? Just fucking fuck around and find out.
You know, I can't wait until someone gets AI dialed in where AI can generate the movie of the idea you initially give it and you just slowly critique the movie.
Speaking of that, for any Star Trek fans out there, you need to look up a fan film that uses AI called Unification. It has... And they got actual who played the Captain Kirk originally? What's his name?
William Shatner.
William Shatner. They got William Shatner to agree to, you know, help him with his likeness and all that. And it's basically it goes back and it works scenes in, or it creates this whole new little narrative or whatever, where Kirk is pulled out of some kind of like timeline thing and he's able to reunite with Spock right before Spock dies or whatever in the new Kelvin timeline that they're doing. A lot of Trek fans are like getting excited. It's got a lot of emotional stuff in there for people that care about that. So, yeah, and they did a pretty good job with the AI animation, like, you know, as far as like animating like Kirk's face to look like he did back in the day, you know?
Yeah. I can't wait till one person with a good idea can just make a movie with nobody trying to like control it of what the movie is making. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'll open up creativity quite a bit, but that's the thing. The studios are trying to fight so that only they have access to AI so that they can't, so that these little upstarts can't, you know, come in there and do anything to them.
It doesn't work like that.
As far as the ratings on this goes, I struggled with this. I wanted to give it in the 4-ish range, or, you know, the 4 range. But the more I thought about the comparisons to like Slither and how good of a movie that is, this movie dropped like a 3.5 for me. Like, it's not bad. I mean, that's still a pretty decent rating, but I can't give it higher than that. That's about where it lands for me.
I think a 3.5 is fair considering what you're taking into account.
100%. Yeah. I was going to say 3.5 sounds about right.
Yeah. It's a 4 for me because it's just so fucking fun. It's fun. And there's not a lot of competition in this specific holiday.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, well, that's one of the benefits to making any kind of holiday horror movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, they understood that back in the slasher days. That's why they were coming out with movies, you know, for Mother's Day and all this other stuff. They were like, what's the one holiday? Because they knew people were like, hey, I'm tired of all the shit that normally goes on around this holiday. Is there a good horror movie? And it's like, but if we got one for you, what about this slasher that cooks people into turkeys? It's like, all right, sounds pretty good to me, you know? Yeah,
but see, the problem is, though, is like, okay, we don't have a lot of Valentine slashers. I think we have two or three. We have a ton of Christmas ones, so you kind of have to pick and choose for Christmas.
I think Christmas, though, gets more of them than any of them because there's more and more that Christmas is getting because people realize that there's the – if they go the horror comedy route like Gremlins or Krampus, or they go the full horror route of something, you know, even Nightmare Before Christmas combines a little bit of the two, even though it's on a kiddie side. There's enough darkness about Christmas that people are tapping into that. And I mentioned this to somebody the other day, this total tangent. Nobody gives credit and Gremlins to how fucking dark that story is that Phoebe Cates tells about how her dad dies in that movie. You remember what that was?
Oh, man, yeah.
He climbs up.
He gets stuck in the chimney.
And they didn't find him until they started smelling this awful smell coming down the chimney.
I know. I apparently have forgotten that. Apparently I was so traumatized.
I told that to somebody at work, and he's like, dude, you are right. That's pretty. I'm like telling you, it's like people sleep on Gremlins. They think it's a little kid's movie. It is not.
Hell yeah. So I would say that I'm kind of grading on a sliding scale a bit because I'm comparing to other movies in this. Well, there's definitely no zombie fucking Thanksgiving movies. This is the only one of its kind.
Which is funny because what holiday would make more sense with zombies than Thanksgiving because it's all about eating and gluttony and all that stuff.
So there's that. But in general, just for in terms of the, you know, theme of Thanksgiving, there's not a lot of movies. So yes, I'm grading kind of on a sliding scale. This one's getting a 4. I think Thanksgiving, I'm assuming I would have given that a higher one in terms of if we're just rating Thanksgiving movies. As a whole, as a, you know, zombie movie, if I were just rating it on that, I'd probably give it somewhere between a 3 and a 3.5. Because this wasn't a scary zombie movie by any means. This is, like I said, fun, family, good, wholesome, fun family holiday horror film.
I could agree with that. It's on the lower end of zombie films as far as, like, I mean, you know, even there could, I would entertain the debate because you've brought it up several times this season about slug aliens and all, or, you know, slug zombies, if they're actually zombies. The zombies in this, they do turn you if they bite, but at the same time, there's enough differences that they almost don't fit within the genre, you know, either. So,
well, and these zombies weren't much of a threat because, yes, they were gathering people for a purpose, which for whatever reason, that doesn't scare me as much as when they're just recklessly trying to murder you because they're so ravenous.
Yeah, I mean, the reasons that zombies are scary is their numbers and the, I mean, like the plague connotations and all that stuff. You don't get any of that in this movie.
No, it's, and I don't feel like it's going to hurt when you turn me into a zombie for this. Like, you're okay, so you just want to turn me into this brainwashed, you know, thing to go and help whatever. I don't feel like that's going to hurt. But if a zombie's eating me alive or multiple zombies are eating me while I'm still alive, that shit is horrific. That's the scariest part of zombies. And you don't get this at all in this film.
Unless you're Linnea Quigley and that gets you hot, and then you have to do a naked dance inside of a cemetery because of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, my nipples are going to be missing, but, you know, I might not even have a labia to show depending on what's getting eaten, you know. I won't have an ass either, but, you know, I'm sure they like to eat ass, and that's where all my fat is, so.
We have already discussed that they do like a little bit of head, though, you know, in the other direction, so. Scout's Guide proved that to us. They'll go down. They'll go downtown pretty easy.
Oh, Lord. Anyways.
Can we give credit again to Scout's Guide to the Zombie? But that is a fucking good movie.
That is a really good movie. That was a five. That was my first fiver this season, wasn't it?
I think it was.
It was my first fiver this season. And not only that, but Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse has gotten us not only so many fucking viewers. That video has hit, oh my God, I forget. I want to say we're like in the tens of thousands right now, but like lots of fucking followers too. So thank you, Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Would have fucking expected that. And I know that majority of you were looking for the whole movie. And for those of you that stayed and listened to the podcast, what? Wow. Like, I know you weren't looking for the podcast. I can see what you guys were searching for. And you stayed. And not only did you stay, but you followed the podcast. So thank you.
Hey, Sean, did you ever see that new VHS movie?
I have not watched that one yet, no.
Oh, what?
No, I need to sit down and watch the VHS. I've not even watched all the VHS movies, to be perfectly honest with you. I have watched all of one, don't remember much about it whatsoever, and then we watched that one zombie segment for the podcast, you know, off of two. It's just one of those things where it's like I was telling Raina, if you watch, you know, these anthology movies, most of the time how they work is there's, except for exceptions like Creepshow, and I would say Creepshow 2 has got a lot of good ones too. Most of them have this thing where it's there's one good story, I mean one really good story, one kind of good story, and then a couple, like one's really bad and one's like if you watch it and you just forget about it instantly. That's how most of them go. So they're so hit and miss that like when I'm watching them, I'm like, okay, you know, I just, like I was watching Tales from the Hood the other day, like, oh, I mean, which is a ridiculous movie, but what? Like, it's
that's
the same
a good kind of, movie. I like that movie.
It's funny and it's got some good stuff, but like the story's very much, you know, or you know, like they're not all hits is all I'm going to say. No, when you're watching
that. They're never all hits, but for the most part, I think most of the stories on that are actually really good, I thought.
If you watch the Creepshow and you go back and watch it, like about damn near every single one of those little stories is great in that movie. I mean, from Father's Day at the beginning of it to, or, you know, it's his birthday or whatever, to all the way to the end where the guy's like got the cockroaches all over his place.
I want my cake.
Yeah. And then you got Ed Harris, like a real young Ed Harris doing awful dance in the movie or whatever he's doing.
Did you see that one on Shudder, Mads?
I don't think I've seen that one. I did see there's Mortuary on there, and that one's not bad. Yeah. It still has the problem where it's got, like, you know, a few clunkers. But There is a scene where a guy literally gives birth to his dick and then his dick explodes.
Oh, yeah.
You got to give credit to that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, Mortuary wasn't too bad. Yeah, if you get a chance, check out Mads. Mads is actually, it's pretty good.
Okay, I'll check that one out. Wait, I plan on us having a season where we just do horror anthology movies, so we're going to pick all this shit up at that point.
Oh, yeah. We have so many seasons planned. It's like, nah, I know next season is When Bad Animals Go Bad, and then Human Horror.
Cocaine Bear.
And then I don't know if we're going to take it back to the basics and go, you know, witches or vampire. We talk vampire season.
Vampire would probably be the easiest one to go back to.
You know what's a sleeper vampire movie is Vampire in Brooklyn.
That one's not bad.
That one. Is that the one with Eddie Murphy?
I like that one.
You don't think it's going to be a legit horror movie?
No. I know it is. I didn't like it.
I thought it was good. I always think it was going to be some kind of weird comedy.
The funny thing is, though, he does work all the same characters that he had, and I want to say Coming to America in that movie. Like, they all kind of cycle in at some point.
Yeah, that was shockingly. I didn't think that was going to be that good.
And we'll review Twilight 2.
What?
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
This is the skin of a killer. I've seen Twilight Breaking Dawn. And the only reason I watched it, and it is you that put it on for me, because it was Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes.
And there are
if we do Twilight, that's how we're watching it. Yes. We are watching it with the intent to make fun of it, because when we get to that baseball scene that has been made fun of on TikTok,
oh God,
we're going to make fun of it. I mean, that's what we're going to do.
Super massive black hole in the background.
I'm telling you, man, the Mystery Science, I think they do it under riff tracks is what it is.
Yes.
But they did all the Twilight movies, man. That's the only way.
Are there others? Because I've been waiting to watch the whole series, because I don't care to watch Twilight. I might enjoy it if I watched it, but I was like, I was watching it through Mystery Science Theater 3000 and I was done. I was like, this is how I always want to watch this. So we could probably do that, because I know we got to do Dracula Dead and Loving It for April Fool's.
That is true,
So, but we can also do one of the Twilights if we do the Mystery Science Theater one, and because that shit was so fucking funny. I love when she was like trying to get his attention on the bed, and he wasn't going for it, and they were like, gay.
Yeah, that would be the way to watch it if we're going to do that. We have to make fun of that baseball scene, though. That is so fucking stupid. I don't even understand why somebody thought to put that to film, to be perfectly honest with you.
Was that, it was in the books, yeah?
Yeah, I think it was. It's literally werewolves and vampires, I think. It might just be the vampires, but they're playing baseball and they're acting all emo and stuff,
they're playing softball, let's be honest.
Yeah, but it's so dumb.
No, and I was joking about reviewing it, but now I'm not, because I'm like, okay, well, we could do that.
we could make fun of it.
Absolutely,
for sure.
Make fun of it. So, and sorry to the fans that enjoy it. Like, that's fine. I enjoyed when I watched it. It was being made fun of, but I enjoyed it.
Unfortunately, thanks to the last 4 years, the people who's been in office and the people who's been in Hollywood, we have far worse movies than Twilight now. So, it's not even. If we wanted to watch a movie just to make ourselves miserable, we would probably watch the Marvels.
Oh, boy. Anyways, all right. Do we want to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap this up. So, 3.5 to 4, somewhere where we're at with this one. I think 3.5 is, pretty good for what it is.
It's a nice getaway from the Thanksgiving reruns that get aired over and over.
Yeah. If you're tired of seeing Charlie Brown, and Snoopy and all them, then you come watch this movie. You'll have a good time with it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, folks. With that, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.